Thank you. Morning. Great to see you all this morning. So here's a quick riddle for you. What kind of room has no doors or windows? Oh, you know it. Okay, here's another one. Imagine you're in a dark room. How do you get out? Oh, you stop imagining. What is as light as a feather, but even the world's strongest man couldn't hold it for more than a minute? Breath. Yeah, very good. Okay, so here's another one. What is not an activity, but requires all your strength and will? What is not diary-driven, yet requires time and space? What is not a lifestyle choice, but is a choice that will transform your life? Worship. Yeah, worship. I wonder if we could have the PowerPoint up, please. It's not just an activity, in the sense of it just being something we do, along with watching TV, going to the gym, of course, eating, working. It's not just a time slot in our diary, though we often talk and think about times of worship, don't we? But it's not just something to be scheduled into a diary or remembered when we have a quiet day. It's not even a lifestyle choice in the sense of it being a program to follow that is going to complement or improve your experience of life. Worship actually is not a riddle, which is great. It is the most natural thing in the world. So what is it? It's this. It's the eternal, glorious, all-consuming, life-satisfying purpose that you were created for. Worship is the eternal, glorious, all-consuming, life-satisfying purpose that you were created for. 1 Peter 2:9 says, you're a chosen people, chosen by God, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people belonging to God, that you may declare the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his wonderful life. So worship, it isn't a duty, is it? It's not a religious ritual for us, but it's a relational response. It's a response that is invited. In everything we know, don't we, God always takes the initiative and then he invites us to respond. It's our experience, isn't it? Have we ever discovered anything of God that we could say is our initiative, is something that we came up with? Now, God always takes the initiative and then invites us to respond. He doesn't demand that we bow and scrape before him before he will consider us. Aren't you pleased about that? God reaches out to us in all his goodness and invites us to respond. So worship is a response, a relational response, a response to God's glory, to his grace, to his love, to his goodness, to his closeness. Some of the things we've been declaring about, hearing testimony of this morning, singing about, praying about. It's a glory and a grace and a love and a closeness that God has revealed to us, that he has opened to us through Jesus, and that rushes towards each and every one of us who are God's children every day. Every day. It's a response that's designed to go from our spirits to our hearts to our heads through every muscle fiber, nerve ending, and part of our being. Worship is a relational response. It's the thing into which everything of life fits and finds its place perfectly. It's the thing that gives sense and deep and proper meaning to everything of life, whether that's good or bad, joyful or painful. It only makes sense in the context of responding to the grace and the love and the goodness of God. To know and to honor and enjoy and obey and love God and tremble, not in fear but in awe, at his glorious presence is what we're made for. It's what we're created for. And it's nothing less than our wonderful God deserves. Our worship is nothing less than our wonderful God deserves. And it's infinitely more than we deserve, isn't it? To be invited in to knowing such an amazing God. and living with him. Now, how to worship is a huge topic this morning, and we've only got a few minutes, so we're just going to barely scratch the surface, but we just want to encourage you, simply remind you of some things. I'm sure a lot of what we're going to say this morning will not be new. I want to remind you, I want to encourage you, I just want to stir your heart again and whet your appetite for what it means to be able to respond to the goodness of God in worship. It's easy to kind of box worship into a thing or a time. I think of times of worship often, and that's a wonderful part of what worship is about, but worship is about much more than that, and Anne's just going to come and share now.
Okay, we just really, when we were preparing for this morning, as Simon said, it's such a massive subject, worship, isn't it? You could go on and on and on for weeks and weeks, and we've only got a short time, but just really, as Simon said, just really sense this morning, just that kind of, you know, when you get a taster for something and you remind yourself of a flavour again, you think, yeah, I like that, or I want to eat that again. And that's what we just really sense this morning. And just want to share a bit of testimony from me. Some months ago, I was driving along and I was listening to a CD in my car, and it was a song, and it had a phrase, unbroken praise. And you know when sometimes you just, there's something in you, you've heard something before that's very familiar, but there's just something in you that responds, and it's like you've heard something afresh for the first time. And this song, this phrase, unbroken praise, I just really found myself getting quite emotional about it. And I was driving along the A140 with tears running down my face, just in response to that phrase, unbroken praise. And I found myself saying to God, what would my life look like if it was just one seamless life of unbroken praise to God, who has given me everything, who loves me with a love, as that hymn says, that demands my heart, my life, my all. And, you know, that really impacted me. And that was a big thought, driving along on the A140, and it was a very challenging thought as well. In the Bible, we're just going to quickly look at Paul, what Paul writes to the Romans. Again, it will be quite familiar to some of you. He says this, therefore, I urge you, brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. This is your true and proper worship. Don't conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good, pleasing, and perfect will. And the Message version of the Bible, which is a paraphrase, is so helpful. And it says this, so here's what I want you to do. God helping you, that's a really important thing. Take your everyday, ordinary life, your sleeping, eating, going to work, and walking around life, and place it before God as an offering. Embracing what God does for you is the best thing you can do for him. Don't become so well adjusted to your culture that you fit into it without even thinking. Instead, fix your attention on God, and you'll be changed from the inside out. Readily recognize what he wants from you and quickly respond to it. Unlike the culture around you, always dragging you down to its level of immaturity, God brings the best out of you and develops well-formed maturity in you. And you know, worship, just like that song, Unbroken Praise, really got me. Worship is laying our whole life before God as an offering to him. And you know, that involves cost and sacrifice. And I can tell you, they're not my two favourite words at all, cost and sacrifice. You know, when Simon and I first got married, you know, various people told us that, you know, in marriage there's cost and there's sacrifice. Obviously there's the cost of Simon's guitar strings. there's the cost of you know, getting really expensive stain remover for his cricket whites when he yet again cuts himself. And for me, there was the initial cost, and this is a little bit embarrassing, but I used to have something that helped me sleep at night, and I called it Bibby, and it was like this muslin cloth, and it had been washed, and I had it since I was a baby, but it was something that I really, really, you know, used to help me get to sleep, and I knew when I got married that was something that wouldn't be able to be part of our marriage, so, so I had to get rid of Bibby, and I'm still counting the cost now. But, you know, worshipping God does involve cost and sacrifice if we choose to put God first in all areas of our lives. I'm going to be really honest now. Preparing to speak today has been a bit of a battle for me because I know there is an area of my life, I'm sure there'll be lots later on, where God is gently putting his finger on and where I've struggled to put him first. And, you know, we know that worship is about God putting, it's about us putting God first in our lives. And all week I've had these accusing thoughts going around my head, which I know, you know, I know they're from the enemy because he wants to drive a wedge between us and our relationship with our loving Father. You know, this is obviously personal to me, but I've had accusing thoughts like this. And who do you think you are to speak about worshipping God when you struggle with your relationship with food, when you eat out of comfort in stress or stress instead of coming to God and giving him all your worries and concerns? You're not a very good role model, are you? So those thoughts have been going around my head this week, and I'm sure that we can all identify with thoughts for lots of different issues. But you know this, is what the Bible says, that God knows the desires of our hearts. In Chronicles we read, "For the Lord searches every heart and understands every desire behind a thought." And you know, I take confidence in that because that is truth. And yes, God wants every part of my life to be honouring to him. And yes, at the moment, there is an area for me that he's gently pointed out that I'm not honouring in him. But he knows my heart, and he understands my desire to worship him in all I do. You know, and yes, he's given me his Holy Spirit. He's given me the power, the strength, and self-discipline that I need. And yes, his grace is sufficient in my weakness. And yes, I do feel vulnerable sharing something personal like this with you, but I do it to encourage us all because, you see, sacrifice is essential in order to worship God. And I know we can often think of sacrifice as quite a negative word, but God doesn't want us to sacrifice things in order to make us miserable. He wants us to realise that only he can bring true joy into our lives, and that's what sacrifice is all about. When we come to God, he wants to bring true joy into our lives, and his response to us in worship is to make our hearts more like his. At the end of the verses we read earlier in Romans, Paul talks about God's good, pleasing and perfect will in our lives, and there's a version of the Bible, a paraphrase by a guy called J.B. Phillips, and I love the way he says this. He says, "Let God remould your minds from within so that you may prove in practice that the plan God has for you is good. It meets all his demands and moves towards the goal of total maturity." And you see, I can reject those lies that tell me I'm in no position to talk about worship because, firstly, it's not about me. It's about Jesus. And secondly, I'm moving, just like we all are, just like J.B. Phillips says, to the goal of total maturity. Or as Paul says, we're being changed from one degree of glory to another. And you know, when we look at worship as our whole life being lived as an outpouring to God, it is challenging. And the Holy Spirit will highlight areas in our lives that aren't pleasing to God. But God knows our desire. He knows that it's our desire to draw attention to his greatness in every area of our lives. And that's a huge thing, but God knows that. And as we surrender and submit to him, the Holy Spirit wonderfully helps us. As we live our everyday lives for him, you know, we can wake up in the morning, and I'm really trying to do this just practically, and many of you will do this already, but every morning waking up and saying, "God, I give you today. Give me the strength to make the tough choices I need to. Help me be quick to forgive and not judge others." That's worship. "Help me be patient with my kids." That's worship. "Help me not to use food as a comfort but turn to you." That's worship. "Open my eyes to the things to be thankful for." That's worship. And we could go on and on and on. It's all worship. You know, when we look at Jesus, we see a life that models the life of worship. Jesus made it clear that his life, his whole life, was about glorifying God. And so when we read the Gospels, you know, read them again and again, see how Jesus lived his life, bringing glory to God as he healed the sick, as he raised the dead, as he taught the crowds of people, as he ate dinner with those who were outcasts, as he walked and talked with his friends, as he had tea with his friend's mum, as he learned how to be a carpenter from his earthly father, as he would have laughed and had fun with his brothers. We don't hear, do we, about Jesus, the 30 years before Jesus' ministry, but all of it was in worship and glorifying God. All this was done to the glory of God, a life of unbroken praise. I just want to remind ourselves again, let's go back to the bit that Paul wrote. He says this, so here's what I want you to do, God helping you. Take your everyday, ordinary life, your sleeping, eating, going to work and walking around life, and place it before God as an offering. You know, this is our worship to God, a worship, because worship is a life lived in response to all that he has done for us. And we've just been singing and declaring that this morning. And, you know, that is what God wants from us. It is sacrifice, it is cost, but look at what he's done for us. And let's just allow him, let's allow him, let the Holy Spirit just come and touch us where we need to be touched, to look at things perhaps we do need to change in our life. And God will give us the grace to do that. And yes, we will mess up sometimes, but God knows our hearts. And we can come back to him and say again, afresh, Lord, your mercy, your grace is new this morning. And I want to live my life for you in every area of my life. And another part of worship, which Simon's just going to look at now, which is of course is important to us, is about when we gather together. So we're just going to explore that now.
Okay. Amazing! All these things, every part of our life can be worship. God loves to receive every act of worship to him. But yeah, we know that. Also, a special part of God's plan for our lives of worship is that we should take time out to gather together to celebrate and honor him. We do that in lots of different ways. We do it through song, we do it through music, through dancing, through prayer, remembering his greatness, recalling together what he's done in our lives, sharing communion. Right from the very beginning of God gathering his people together, that's been his plan. He set aside times and days and festivals for his people to get together. We haven't got time to go through all this. And Jesus, in his life, he celebrated those. He embraced those, but amazingly became the kind of perfect fulfillment of all those days and times and festivals, all the things that they were celebrating and looking forward to of God's goodness and salvation. Jesus perfectly fulfilled. And then with Pentecost, there was the kind of the explosion of the outpouring of the Holy Spirit on the early church that just brought an incredible new freedom to the meeting together to celebrate. So they met in the temple, yeah, but then they met in homes. They met day to day. To worship, pray, eat, learn, break bread. They had that same commitment to come together that God had laid out in the law. But now it was no longer a calendar thing, but a charismatic thing. It was something that God had put in their heart by the Holy Spirit. A new hunger. When we meet together, it's, why do we meet? We meet because it's good for us. Yeah, we meet because God invites us. He calls us to come. But it's good for us. Again, we haven't got time to go through these scriptures. But when we meet together to worship, these times are special, aren't they? Aren't they? Yeah, Jesus said, when two or three people get together, I'm there. Now, what did he mean by that? He's always with us. That's his promise. But there is something of God's intimate presence that is specially amongst his people when they get together to worship him. It really is. Psalm 22 says God is enthroned in the praises of his people. Again, what does that mean? Well, God's always enthroned. He's always the King of Kings, isn't he? But again, as we meet together to worship, it is something of like we're laying out the red carpet, inviting God, inviting that kind of release of his kingdom, power, and rule in our lives. 1 Corinthians 12 and 14 talks about how God loves when his family meets together to pour out his spirit and to give good gifts that are going to strengthen us and build up the church. It's always been God's plan. And his desire is that when we meet together, these times are special because he has special things to release to us. So it's really important. Scripture says we don't neglect meeting together. God's plan for his children is that they will thrive when they meet and do life together and worship together regularly. So very quickly, what should it look like when we come together? What's our heart when we come together to worship God? Well, Jesus said this, that the hour is coming and is now here when true worshippers will worship the Father in spirit and in truth. For the Father is seeking such people to worship him. God is spirit, and those who worship him must worship in spirit and in truth. So very briefly then, what should our worship look like when we get together? Truth. We worship in truth. You know, I think there's a slightly worrying trend in kind of worship songwriting at the moment in certain areas for songs that are very much kind of based around feelings, like what I'm experiencing, what's happening to me right now. So we want worship, don't we, that's based on truth over feelings. Truth about who God is and what he has done. I want to sing songs that are full of truth about God's greatness, about who he is, what he's done, what his plans are for my life. And I want the Bible to be the foundation of everything that our worship is. And we are gloriously included in all of God's plans and purposes. But I want to declare songs that talk about who God says I am, not just about what I'm feeling right now. Who God says I am, what he's got eternally planned for me. Because worship that's founded on feelings is going to be flaky, isn't it? Because our feelings are flaky. My feelings are flaky, don't know about yours. And that won't change us. But you know, worship that's founded on truth will change us. Because God's truth has the power to transform us. As we declare God's truth, he feeds our faith. He builds strength into us. It has the power to release peace and joy to us, no matter how we're feeling. See, worshipping in truth doesn't mean we kind of negate our feelings or ignore our feelings or try and switch them off. Because worship should embrace our feelings. You only got to read the Psalms to know that worship embraces all feelings. We want an authenticity in our worship, don't we? We are emotional beings, but we need to, it's really important we bring our emotions under the light of God's truth and what he says about us. I read this great quote this week. It said this, when we come together in worship, we should experience the most powerful gravitational pull in the universe that centers our lives, our hurts and pains, our happiness and hopes around the all-surpassing truth that Jesus is Lord. Everything of our lives centered, finding its place in worshiping him. We want to actively engage with the truth, don't we, when we worship. Now, it's very easy, isn't it, just to kind of sing songs, just trip songs, particularly when songs are familiar to us or when we read scriptures that are familiar to us. And I'm sure you do this already, but can I just encourage you? As we declare truth, whether we're singing it, whether we're reading scripture, I find it helpful to be asking myself questions. So like asking myself, what does this actually mean? So I'm singing something, I'm just parroting out. What does it actually mean? Why is it true? What difference does it make to me? What if it wasn't true? How do I want to respond to that? Just asking questions like that, actively engaging with the truth, and then responding and praying the answers back to God or singing them back to God. Thinking, how else can I express this truth? God, would you help me? When we come to the end of a song, not just looking to the worship leader for what's next, but actually asking the Holy Spirit, oh, lead me deeper, speak further to me with your truth. So we want to worship in truth, we want to worship in spirit. Do you find it tricky worshiping sometimes? Not sure what to do? Well, the good news is God wants to help us worship. Who is the greatest worship leader in the whole world? In the whole universe, he doesn't play guitar. Well, okay, it's the Holy Spirit. Without the Holy Spirit, we can't worship, can we? Philippians 3 says we worship by the Spirit of God. 1 Corinthians 12 says no one can say Jesus is Lord except by the Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit helps us to worship. And one of the wonderful things the Holy Spirit does, we know, is that he gives us that personal heart connection with God as our Father. that ensures that the songs that we sing and the scriptures that we pray, they're not just religious expressions, but they're expressions of a heart devotion, a heart connection, expressions of dependence, expressions of thanks. I love Romans 5:5. It says, God pours his love into our hearts by the Holy Spirit. We can't experience the love of God without the Holy Spirit. God longs for us to experience his love as we live lives of worship. And then Galatians 4:6, this is a two-way thing, and the Holy Spirit's there in both parts. See, he pours God's love into our hearts, and then he helps us express love back to God. It's through the Holy Spirit that we say, Abba, Father, that we have that personal, intimate connection with him. So we want to actively engage with the truth in our worship, don't we? We want to actively engage with the Holy Spirit in our worship. Now, we're talking a lot at the moment about being baptized in the Holy Spirit, being filled with the Holy Spirit. It's just such a wonderful gift that God has given to us, his Holy Spirit. So we come to worship. Let's ask him every time, every day, God, fill me again with your Spirit. Help me to live a life of worship. One way the Holy Spirit helps us worship together, as we come together, we know, is through the supernatural gifts. The Holy Spirit inspires us and equips us to speak and to share and to pray, to prophesy, to bring words of knowledge, words of encouragement, gifts of faith, gifts of healing. Now, 1 Corinthians 12 and 14, other New Testament passages, they teach us about this, don't they? God's wonderful kind of supernatural provision to help us worship. Scriptures say, eagerly desire more of the Holy Spirit. We're going to be looking about this in the next couple of weeks, about what it means to eagerly desire more of the Holy Spirit. Not just one or two of us. I want our worship to be full of the activity of the Holy Spirit, and that's God's desire for us too. The Holy Spirit is going to be active in you. What are we aiming for in our worship? We're not aiming, and you might have twigged this, we're not aiming for slick presentation in our worship. Okay, we're not aiming for a professional worship experience kind of type of performance with a big presentation and high production values. Do you know, if I want that, I can go to a concert. I can listen to great music. What I can't get anywhere else is the Spirit of God moving amongst his people, inspiring and equipping them to speak and to lead and to direct and to bring healing. And it's not always neat and tidy when the Holy Spirit's working, is it? Have you noticed that? So we're not going for slick and neat and tidy. Okay, we could do, but we're not. We're going for the Holy Spirit. That's what we want. We want his activity. We want his life. That's the picture of worship in the church that I see in the Bible. That's what I want. I'm sure that's what God wants. And then lastly, the body. What do we want when we worship together? We want body. The Bible says when we come to worship together, we are like a body where everyone has a contribution to bring, where every part is different but can bring that contribution. 1 Corinthians 14, Paul's writing, he says, what then shall we say, brothers and sisters? When you come together, each of you has a hymn, a word of instruction, a revelation, a tongue or an interpretation. Everything must be done so that the church may be built up. That's what I want. That's what I long for more of as we gather together to worship. And that doesn't mean we've all got to be queuing up for the mic, because there are so many, because you can't. If we all did that, we'd be here for hours and hours every Sunday. But there are so many ways to bring your contributions. It may just be quietly where you are, bringing something that God puts on your heart to Jesus. Maybe God gives you a word of encouragement for someone. Doesn't necessarily always need to be shared from the mic. God may put someone on your heart to just go and share it quietly with. Maybe in the connect time, even. Maybe one person you get a chance to pray for. But do you come with that expectation? God's got something for me to bring that's special this morning. It's part of his special plan for us gathering together. And we want to see everyone in the church released into the gifts that God has given them. You know, we've got some great musicians in this church. I'm so blessed by our worship team. I know you are too. Again, this is a really important value for me, because I love music, and we could have slick, professional quality music every week. I mean, our music is great, but we can have seriously professional, because we've got some seriously gifted musicians here in the church. But you know what's more important to me than that is seeing everybody released in their gifts. Yeah. And I love the number of young people that we've got that are starting to explore and develop music. And we want to release them and use them in their worship. So thank you, young people. Have you ever thanked our young people who serve us week by week on the projector? So we wouldn't be able to worship without it, would we? Who's on projector duty? Could you stand up if you have or do or have done projector for us, young people, please? Thank you. I think, yes. We're so blessed. Everyone has something to bring when we come together and worship. That is body. That is spirit. It is coming together to serve one another. Your worship matters. It matters to God. He loves to receive it. He delights in it. It matters to us as a body, that we all bring what God's given us. See, body is key. Now, I just had this phrase in my heart: build the bonfire. Do you know, as we worship during the week, everything that we do as an act of worship to God is like a plank on a little bonfire of worship in our lives. Whether that's when we take time out to pray, to read the Bible, maybe it's just a step of faith that we take, maybe it's the way we deal with something that's really difficult, maybe it's the way we repent of something. It's all kind of feeding the bonfire of worship in our lives. And actually, God's plan is that as we gather together, we all bring our bonfire. I know you can't physically do that. It's kind of an imperfect picture, but you know what I mean. That actually you bring a bonfire together, it becomes a raging inferno. Your worship matters. God loves it. So important to the church. And lastly, and we're just going to respond now by singing a song. It just the last thing I had on my heart is it's just that we press in to God every time we get together. Now, remember the story of the woman who just suffered with bleeding for years and years, and there were crowds around Jesus, and yet she was determined. Scripture says she said to herself, if I just touch him, I'm going to be healed. There was that kind of, no, I'm going to press in. So, you know, we have an enemy who just wants to rob and take away from us all the good things that God has for us. And you know what it's like when we get together on a Sunday morning. How often do we come where we feel tired or something's not gone right in the morning, or, you know, we had an issue with the family or something? God's encouragement to us is press in. I just put EDF energy. Okay, God wants to give us EDF energy. Expectation, determination, focus. Why are we here? We're here to meet with him. We're here to respond to him again afresh. To draw close to him that he might draw close to us. Because there is a special blessing that God loves to pour out when we press in with perseverance to him. We don't want to settle for anything less, do we? Okay, we're just going to sing a song to finish. Just invite the band back up again. I just invite you to stand. Let's just pray. Thank you, Father. You don't call us to a life of religious ritual, but one of relational response. Thank you for your goodness to us, Lord. Well, we want to learn how to respond to worship in spirit and in truth. Our 24/7, everything about us, Lord God. Thank you that there is such blessing for us as we go on this journey with you.